Today's career is dedicated in memory of Mr. Dr. Irving M. Rauerzau, Huntington Church, High School. The Neshama should have an aliyah as a result of the trauma with her disciple. Sometimes there are psukim in Torah that you keep telling yourself, you know, next year I'm going to really delve into that to see if I understand. And then, you know, next year becomes next decade around, you know. We're going to get down to those few psukim and see what in heaven's name they are talking about. But you know, sometimes you say, And it happens. So this year it happened. There are a few psukim, five, six psukim in Parshat Noah. That if you look at them carefully, there are so many questions. We can spend an hour just asking the questions and we'll never get out of it. But we're going to try, we're going to see, do whatever we can. But that's it, that's enough. That's enough introduction. Number one, let's start where it's underlined. Vayihi Kates Arba'im Yom. The Noach's ark has already come to rest on Mount Ararat. And they've already reached the point where the mountaintops have become visible. Vayihi Kates Arba'im Yom, 40 days after the Teva, the ark, has come to rest. Vayiftach Noach et chalom ha-teva asher osah. Noach opened the window of the ark that he had made. Vayishalach et ha-odei, and he sent out the raven. Vayetze yotzo v'shol. The raven went back and forth, flying around the ark, back and forth. Until the waters dry from upon the face of the earth. To understand the difficulties with this pasuk, we need to go one more pasuk. Noach sent the dove. Lidot hakalu hamayim. Have the waters become lighter, upon the face of the earth. Now, when he sent the raven, it didn't say why he sent the raven out. Only when he sends the dove does it say that he sent the dove to see if the waters had become lighter. So why did he send the orev? What was the point of the orev? The array brought no news back at all, because for all intents and purposes, the raven just never really went out into the world to see what's happening. The raven just remained in the vicinity of the ark. Why did he send her? What was her purpose? Or his, I'm not sure. His? What was the raven's purpose? The Nitziv asks about both of these birds. There are many birds that are stronger, more powerful, can fly distances, great distances. The dove is a little feathered. What's a dove? The raven already is a stronger bird, but the raven doesn't fly great distances. Like some of the first talk, of course, about the fact that there are there are carrier pigeons, the ones that are sent off with messages and come back with messages. What are these? What's the point? What's the point of sending them out? Let's go further. So he said, the Yonah, wait a minute, there's something else. It says, like the Shalach et Hayonah, Mei To. He sent the dove from him. It doesn't say in the passage before, Vayishlach et Ha'orei, he sent the raven from him. And as we also pointed out, it doesn't say what the purpose of sending the raven was. Alright, now he sends out the Yonah. The Yonah didn't find rest for her little fish. This water. A love El Hateva. Here it's also fascinating. It could have simply said Vatoshav, she returned to the ark. But no, the passage says Vatoshav a love. She came back to him. In other words, the Teva is secondary. There's some kind of a relationship here between Noah and the dove. He sends the dove from him and she returns to him. Because there's water upon the face of the earth. And he sent out his hand, he stretched out his hand, and he took her. He brought her to him. Wow. Oh, what a difference between the non-relationship between Noah and the raven, and here there's definitely some kind of a warm relationship. You know, I think it may be the Melvin who says that this dove was the one. You know, people have birds in there. You ever been in a house where they have a bird? Well, my daughter's has a bird. I mean, I'm beginning to develop a relationship and I'm learning not to scream when the thing flies around. I have some beautiful, but gorgeous, gorgeous colors. Very, very friendly little thing. But there are people who have doves. So according to the Malden, this was not a dove that came to him as all the other animal and fowl came to the table. This was his personal dove that he brought with him into the table. The Malden even says that the raven was also his personal raven. And he says something fascinating. And, you know, in books and in other places we'll see, the raven is supposed to have had some kind of an ability to foretell the future. There was something about the raven that sent out all sorts of messages. But that's not for our shot yet. Okay. Well, the Mosahayonamanaka Kafrago, she didn't find rest, but Toshanilov, she returned him to the ark. He made him up in a hot car, because it was water upon the face of the earth. By the shlach yadavai yikachay, he stretched out his hand, and he took her, by yavei otah, a lot el hateva. Another thing that's important, look here, every word is so laden with meaning. It said twice the word va yishlach. This third time, when Noah stretches his hand out, it says, Vayishalach. Big difference between Vayishalach and Vayishalach. There's a parsha in Torah called Shlach. God tells Moshe, Shlach l'cha anoshim, send people to spy out the land of Israel. What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell old Pharaoh? Shalach et ami v'ya'avim. Shalach. What's the difference on the one hand between v'yishalach and v'yishlach? Which of course is going to be the same difference between shlach and shalach. When Noah stretches out his hand, v'yishlach yado, he stretches out his hand, that means this is a conscious act. He is stretching out his hand in order to bring the bird back. There's a conscious act that is taking place over here. V'yishalach et a'odeim, or v'yishalach et a'yonah means he let it go. He didn't send the Odeim. He didn't send the Yonah. Vayishamach, he just let it go. Let it go. When Moshe Rabbeinu sends the miraculum, it says, Shlach. Well, we have another parasha in Torah, by the way. Later in Bereshit, we have parasha Vayishlach. Vayishlach, Yaakov sends messages to Esau. Vayishlach and shlach are conscious act of doing something. Vayishalach and shalach mean just let him go, let him do his own thing, let him do his own thing. And therefore, of course, I very puzzled by one of the more recent English translations of the Torah, where shalach et ami, Moshe says to Paro, shalach et ami, they translate, send my people out. No! The good old translation is the correct one. Let my people go! 2, 4, 6, 8, open up the iron gate. You demonstrated to Soviet Jewry, you were out there on Solidarity Sunday, 5th Avenue in Manhattan. Shalach et ami is let my people go. Don't do me no tavis tavo. We don't want you to send them out. You just open up the gates and let them go. Vayishalach et ha'odev, vayishalach et ha'yonah, he didn't send them. He let them go. Yaakov sends messengers by Yishlach. Moshe sends sends Meraglim, Shlach. But Paro, Shalach et Ami. Maybe important at some point. And even if it's not, it's good to know the difference. It's really good to know. But we'll see because of Rashi. He waited another 7 days by Yosef. Does it all fit in? By Yosef. What's the next word after by Yosef? By Yosef. Shalach. Let the Yonah go. Didn't send the Yonah. The Yonah on his first mission out had failed to return with any great message for all of mankind. He sends her out. He lets her go. I'm sorry to take it back. He lets the Yonah go from the table. And the Yonah came back to him toward evening. Behold, there's a leaf of an olive tree in her mouth. And Noah then knew that the waters had become lighter from upon the earth. There's another. I'll read one more pasuk and point out something else that's very interesting. Vayyochel od, Shvar Shalom Achayim, he waited another 7 days. Vayyishalach again, he let the Yonah go. Velo yosva shuv elav od. She never returned again. There's a lot of mystery over here. By the way, another, if we're talking already about the meaning of words, there's something else over here. It says about the Oreg in the first pasuk, Vayishalach et ha'Oreg Vayese Yatso Vashov, Shov, return. He sent the Yonah Me'ito, he left, translate correctly, he let the Yonah go, yeah, V'lomotza Yonah Menoch L'Kafrotam Vatoshov, and she returned to the Teva. Okay? Then, when she goes out, and it says, he let her go again, Vatovo Elov Hayona Le'ez Ere. Vatovo. It doesn't say Vatoshov, she returned. The word that has been used is Shuv, to return. Now all of a sudden it's Vatovo. She came. Vine Alezari Torotio, Vayeda Noach, Karo Amaino. He waited another 7 days and he let the owner go. Velo Yosva Shuv Elovo. And she no longer returned him. It doesn't say Velo Yosva Bo Elovo. What's the difference between Shuv and Bo? Shuv always means returning to where you belong. The classic example, of course, is one who does tshuva returns to his true inner self. He returns to his spiritual roots. He returns to his people, to his consciousness, to his destiny. Bo means I come and I go. When the Yonah no longer knows that she no longer needs the Teva, she's not Shav, but Tavoila, she came with the olive leaf in her mouth. Because when she comes now, she's not coming to return to the Teva. She's not Shav Ela Teva because this is her place. She already knows that the world is open to her. All that she does is she comes to the Teva. And then when she flies off again, Lo Yosfo, she never shuv. She never came back to him. Two different words. And the Yisod of Tshuva, we learned this is the first time you have this word in Torah. And it always means returning to your roots. That's what Tshuva is. Going back to where you belong. The place that is home. All right. Okay, that's the parsha. That's the parsha. So, I found very interesting enough, every so often I become overwhelmed with him. Hanan Torah has an essay on the Oreg and the Yonah. So, turn on to the next. There's number two, and there's number three. Let's look at number three. The Yonah is part of our Midot on Shabbat. Yom Shabbat on English star, Zichro Kireat Anichar, Yomah Motso Bomah Noah. What did it say in the parsha? V'lo motso ha'yona manoah urchaf ragla. The Yonah didn't find any place for her fisala. But the Yonah in Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's great poem that our hours we have Shabbat, he says Yonah motso bo manoah. Who is the Yonah? Klal Yisrael are. The Gemara says in a number of places that the Jewish people are likened unto a Yonah. God himself says it in Shir HaShirim, Yonati b'chadvei ha'ela. There is my davala in the cleft of the rock. And the Gemara says because the Yonah remains absolutely loyal to her spouse, always undying loyalty, and that's Loyalty represents Clausel's relationship with the Virgin throughout old history, with 4,000 years down the line, and we have remained loyal. So, therefore, good our lady has this beautiful poem, Yom Shabbaton, aimless star, the day of rest should not be forgotten, its memory is like sweet fragrance, on it the dog found rest, and in it the exhausted rest. V'shom yanuhu v'yecha. But then there's another great poem. They say it's one of the greatest poems ever written. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. You remember The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe? The Englishmen don't have to know about it because he's an American poet. From the colonies, you understand, from the colonies. I just took two stanzas. Because these stanzas are going to define for us what the Olev is. The story is about a fellow who's lost his great love, Lenore, and he's in the process of a terrible depression. And in the midst of this depression, if he needs to be depressed anymore, there comes a raven and alights near the door to his house on top of some kind of a statue. And sort of, you know, the raven represents his extreme depression. But the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling. Straight, I wheel the cushioned seat in front of the bird and pass the door. The bird is on top of a post that's by the door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy on fancy, thinking, what this ominous bird of yore? There was something very frightening about the Orev. The Orev was not a very good bird. The Gemara says about the Orev is an arzor, he's cruel. Leaves his children to fend for themselves. We say it in davening in the morning. God listens, Livnei Orev, to the children of the Orev, Asher Yikro, who call out to God. The only one who takes care of them is God. The Orev, all right, he leaves his children and off he goes. Fancy thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, that's quite a description of a bird. An ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil. What fascinates me about this is that's exactly what the Malbim says. Kings and dukes and all sorts of royalty would have an orev, and the way the orev would move or fly or chatter, they interpret it as things of the future. Is it possible that Noach wanted to see what does the orev portend? What's going to be the story with mankind? What's happening out there? Maybe he doesn't even have to say that he sent the orev to see if the waters have diminished, as he says by the Yonah. Because by the orev, he just wants to see what it does, what it looks like, what direction it points. There were ways that people seemed to believe that there were ominous signs, or sometimes good signs, from the orev. Prophet, said I, prophet, the orev. Think of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate, yet all undaunted on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore. Oh, he's asking, tell me, you orev, you know what's going on out there. Tell me, I implore. Is there balm in Gilead? That's a pasuk in Tanakh. It's a pasuk in Hosea. In Tzori Begilad, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. The orev the Oreb represents evil. The Yonah represents good. The Oreb is a portender of death. The Yonah is life. The Oreb is black. The Yonah is white. The Oreb is a non-kosher bird. The Yonah is a kosher bird. They therefore represent all sorts of different ideas. I would say that the Oreb is evil. Evil, portender of evil. Isn't that what he said? Portender of evil, horror haunted, I implore, ominous bird of yore. The Oreb has a very croaking, crackly voice, very unpleasant to listen to. Poe said that also. Men, what did he mean in croaking nevermore? The Yonah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice. These are two different faces of the world. The good and the bad. The good and the bad. So in the first instance, the question over here may be the following. You know what Noah wants to see? Noah wants to see who's going to bring the message that the earth is ready for man. Who is going to be the one that brings the good news? Does it make a difference? It makes a difference. That's the last page. Second page. This is, the second page is from Shmuel Day. Shmuel, I think it's chapter 17. The horrible rebellion of Absalom against his father. Absalom, the son of David, HaMelech, rebels. David has to flee Yerushalayim. He is off in exile for his own son, the one who he loved. Cast him out. And there are those who shame him and embarrass him and call out cries against him. David flees. He's already come to the end of his life, and he's fleeing before his own son, leaves Yerushalayim. And then comes there are five, six chapters in Tanakh that are awesome. It's all over. David had given instructions, be careful with the boy. Be careful. And then, but anyway, Yoav makes sure that Avshalom is killed. He's caught, his hair is caught in the tree, but then they run him through. Anyway, now the question is, who's going to give the message to David? The main message is that he's been victorious. The forces of David have crushed the rebellion. I'm going to read quickly. Vahimaz ben Tzadok Omar, Ahimaz, the son of Tzadok, was the Cohen, said, I'm going to run, and I'm going to tell the king the news. That God has judged him from the hands of his enemies. Yoav says to him, Lo ishi b'sorah tavos hayom hazeh. You should not be the bearer of news today. You should not be. You'll be the bearer of news on another day. Today, don't be the bearer of the news. Tell King Ben HaMelech met, because the king's son has died. Therefore, Yoav said to the Cushi, there was a servant of Cushi, yes, he was black. He tells the Cushi, Lech Hagei HaMelech, go tell the king, Asherita, what you've seen. The Cushi bowed down before Yoav, and he began to run. Ahimaaz ויוסף עוד אחימץ בצובק ויאמר איוב, אחימץ הוא סתם צובק סליגנטי איוב, ויהי מה, I don't care. I don't care what will happen. Or roots or no, גם אני אחרי הכושי. I'm going to run after the כושי. ויאמר איוב איוב said, לא מוזרה תרוץ בני, what are you running for? ולכהן בסורם מוצא, if you don't have nose to give, that will be good. ויהי מה ערוץ. Achimad says, I don't care, I'm running. Vayomalo said, Yo, told him, okay, Roots, run. Vayorech Achimad Zerach HaKidla, this is fascinating. The Kushi had already gone. Achimad took a longer way, and he passed the Kushi and arrived first. He never tells David what happened to Avshalom. He tells him that the battle is over and the king has won. It's going to be the Kushi who's going to tell David in a horrible way. In a horrible way. Later on he says, the Kushi said, his blessing, that all the enemies of God should be like this boy Absalom who was killed. In a terrible way he tells David. What thing over here is, well, somebody wants to bring the news. Somebody wants to bring the news. Achimaz, the way he presented the news was far, far better than the way the Kushi did. What's happening in our parish is the following. Noach wants to know who's going to bring the news that the world is ready again for man to inhabit it. You know what Noah is hoping and praying for? He's hoping that the Olave will bring the news. He doesn't want to tell the Olave, go out and find out if the waters have receded. He wants the Olave on its own to bring somehow the news that it's all over. You know why? Because Noah wants now, at the beginning of the building of a new, brave world, he wants that it should be built by the powers of evil together with the powers of good. He wants the old age to become, and whatever the old age represents, he wants him to become a powerful good in this world. A world that was destroyed because of evil. We have to have a world in which evil is going to be eradicated. And the one to represent that is the Orev. And Noah watches as the Orev keeps flying back and forth. Only within the vicinity of the ark, doesn't go any further. The Orev is not going to bring the message. Noah knows already, by this he knows that the world is going to be built by the good, and there's going to be a continuing struggle between good and evil until the ultimate great day when God is going to judge the world. He had hoped for better, but that was not to be. I also think that the Orev had broken the laws of the Teva.
Right.
The laws, there was a law laid down by God for all the residents of that ark, all humankind and all mankind. There are to be no relations between the sexes. No births. Nothing. Everything remains static. The Orev broke the law. So therefore, for example, the Or HaChaim says, the Orev wasn't. He wasn't let go. Or I really think the Or HaChaim was learning that by Yishalach means he sent him out, which is very problematic. He says he wanted, the first moment he could, he wanted to rid himself of the orate. You broke the law. All of mankind and animal kind had accepted upon themselves a regimen for this year in the ark. You're broken. You're not part of society. You are a Koresh. You separated yourself from the Tzibur. So the Aruch Haim says, he cast them out. He wants them out. We can't tolerate those who break the law. I have a feeling, that he sent the Oreh because he wants to give the Oreh the opportunity to do tshuva. If the Oreh, the one who broke the law in the Teva, is now going to be the one who's going to go soaring out into the world to bring the good news, then it means that the Oreh wants to reconnect again with that world that he rejected by breaking the law that had been accepted by all. The Orev is Yotzo Vosho. He never, ever goes out to seek anything for the well-being of mankind. The Orev remains the Orev. The Yonah is the one that's going to go out there and ultimately do the job. The Yonah, and by the way, the world, one of the big mistakes that the world makes is the dove with the olive branch is supposed to be the symbol of peace. That's not at all what it is over here. It all comes from here. You understand? This is the only place in literature we have a dove flying around with an olive leaf. No. That's not what happened. Here, let's go back. We'll take a look at a Rashi. Number two are the Rashis. Go down to Pasuk 11. You see, there's 7, 8, 10, 11, Torah B'Tfilah, it had plucked with its mouth. All right, so this, the first Rashi is talking about something fascinating. This Yonah is described sometimes feminine and sometimes as masculine. Torah B'Tfilah, it should have been Torah B'Tfilah. No. So he says that you can use, with regard to a dove, you can use both masculine and feminine. But the next Rashi, Taraf. This means Chakaf. It had snatched. Umidrash Agada. It's a Medrash and it's a Gemara. Says the following. The word Taraf over here means food. Lashon Mazon. Vidorashu Bafiha. And the Agada, homiletic interpretation says Taraf is food. Bifiha in her mouth means she is saying something. There's something she's expressing. Vidorsha Bifiha in its mouth, Lishon Bamat to mean making a statement. Taraf Bifiha means speaking of food. That's how the Medrash uses these words. Omra. She said, let my food be bitter as an olive, and provided by the hand of the Holy One, and not sweet as honey, when it comes from man of flesh and blood. I'd rather be eating a bitter olive leaf, but I got it from God. Better than all of the tithes that I can get me tevosa for done. How does the Gemara know this? How does the Gemara know this? You know how the Gemara knows this? It's all related to what I told you earlier. Every time she comes to the table, it says, show, she returned to the table. When she comes with the olive leaf, it says, Vatavo, she came. And how do we say, what do we say Vatavo means? She's come, but she hasn't come to stay. You know why she's not coming to stay anymore? Because she has already a sustenance, though it be bitter, but she has it from God Himself. And therefore, that last time when she comes, she does not return to the table. It's no longer the place that she needs for her sustenance and for her life. She's free. You know what the olive represents? The dove with the olive leaf represents freedom, not peace. Peace and freedom don't necessarily inhabit the same sphere. There are times, in order to achieve freedom, you know what's going to be necessary? War. Freedom. That's what it represents. And freedom is represented by the bird. The dove has its sustenance. It has what it needs. That's what's going to send her out into the world. She's ready to go out into the world. Ready to go out. Where did she get it from? Where did she get the olive leaf? Let me read something to you. It's very fascinating. You know where she got it? There's a letter that says she got it from Harazesim. From Harazesim, that's where she got it. And you know why she was able to get it from Harazesim? Here's something else that you never know. The rains of the Mabul came down on the whole world except one country. Didn't come down on Eretz as well. I didn't like that. The Rambam brings it. Eretz Yisrael lo yorad aleha mei hamabul, the waters of the Mabul did not come down upon Eretz Yisrael. However, he says, there are no walls around Eretz Yisrael. So the water flowed in from the other countries of the world. Today, of course, we have a Geder Hafradah around the country. No, that will hold back the water to the Mabul. But there was no Geder. You understand? So whatever came into Eretz Yisrael was the runoff of the Mabul. But God's anger never came down upon Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, on Harazesim, I imagine, I don't know, are there olive trees on Harazesim? There must be a few. It must have been a place where there were olive trees. You know, there's also something very fascinating, that the message of life comes from Harazesim. There must be a message someplace that Tchias HaMeisim is going to begin on Harazesim. One of the Haftorahs of Sukkot was the Haftorah of, in the final struggle against the enemies of Israel, God is standing on Har HaZeitun and the mountain is split in half. So here, I just want to read a little bit from the Rambam brings this message. First, the Rambam brings a message that says, "Meheichan hevia oto." From where did she bring the olive leaf? Rav Levi Amar. Rav Levi says, "Mehar Hamishma hevia." Har Hamishma is Harazesim. The Loitofak Aro the Yisrael b'Nayda din Mabula. Eretz Yisrael did not receive the downpours of the water of the Mabul. This is what the Holy One Blessed He said to the prophet Yechezkel, Ben Odom and Morlah at Edetz, tell her you are a land low to Horah that has not been rain, that has not been destroyed, it's pure. He lo gushmo beyond Zion, the Bible says. And the day of anger, rain did not come down upon the earth as well. See ya. Another few rashes. Topic 7, Yotzovah Shov. The Orig goes out and he's Yotzovah, he's going and returning. Holeh umakiv, Sivot HaTeva, he kept making the circuit around the ark. But did not go on its mission. And here's one of the strange, difficult things. But there's something about it that is fascinating. Show your host of Vanzugo. He suspected Noah, that Noah was going to play around with his mate. And the Gemara says you don't have to take it literally, but what it means is the following. The evil of people who are capable of turning against somebody who has saved their lives and accuse him of the most ridiculous things in the world. You know what immediately came to mind when I learned this Rashi? Jews are caught at the Red Sea. Before them they have the dark, ominous sea. On the other side, 600 chariots of Pharaoh coming. It's one of the few moments, if not the only moment in all of history, where the entire Jewish people are found on the beach. Everybody's on the beach. And they're facing destruction. It's going to be death in the sea or death by the Egyptians. And the Medrash describes it, and you even see them looking. You know, like they will start fighting with one another. The Gemara says that there were four groups at the sea. There were those who said, let's jump into the Yam Suf and commit suicide. There are those who said, let's go back to the site. There are those who said, let's make a lot of noise. You know, we're the Jews, we know how to make a lot of noise. And then there were those who said, let's fight back. And Moshe is the one who steps into the picture and he says, alright, Hashem, the way you see Egypt today, you will never see them again. Hashem, you lock up your hand, God is in the way, he's walked for you, you remain silent. But it is there, the prophet says, that there were people who said, Hamidli ain kvarim in Mitzrayim l'tachtanu lamud b'mibar. You took us, Moshe, you took us out of Mitzrayim because there aren't enough grave sites in Egypt. You took us out so that we should die in the desert. Have you heard anything as ridiculous as that? The savior of the Jewish people is the one who was accused. I've been the one who once sent down here. It's so ridiculous, so absurd. The Gemara says, of course, that it was Dovs on Darvichon. They were the ones who said that. What the Oreiv is saying is absolutely ridiculous, beyond all ridiculousness. But that's the nature of evil. The Oreiv represents absolute evil. So go read the charter of the of Hamas. You never read the charter of Hamas?
No.
Well, then your education is sorely lacking, you understand? We're up against Hamas over here. And they write that every war since the beginning of time was started by the Jews. We started the First World War, we started the Second World War, and there is any strife that exists throughout the whole world, it's awesome, it's absurd, it's ridiculous, but that's what they're saying. It doesn't Chazal knew it from the Odeh. Because the Odeh who represents evil is capable of saying the most absurd and ridiculous things. So here it is, the Oda, even the Yonah. You know what? Neither one of them was necessary. These five, six children were totally unnecessary. You waited 40 days? You waited 40 days? Wait another few days, you look out the window and you'll see. And if the Yonah brought an olive leaf from Harazesu, so that means he can walk out of the table now? Just wait. You were patient already for a year. You'll wait another week or two and you'll see that it's all dry. What's being represented over here is the steps that are taken to build a new world. Noah had hoped that we'd be able to build a new world where even the forces of evil would become forces that would be positive, that would join together with the rest of mankind in building the world. And he finds out that it's not so. The world that's going to be built after the Mabul is going to be a world just like before the Mabul. There are going to be forces of evil and forces of good. And they're going to be locked in a nearly eternal struggle until the end, until it's all over. Therefore, the Yonah, of course, becomes the symbol of Klal Yisrael. We are the Yonah. We are the Rebbe Yishlanim's beloved little Yonah. Yonatim b'charveha, b'charveha sela. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference who it is that brings the news. Makes a difference who brings the news. Makes a difference already what the... It also means that the Yonah understands that she's going to have to go it alone. I have a feeling that at the end when it says Vatavo, she came to him, and it doesn't say shows that she returned to him because she knows that she's going to have to strike out on her own. That table represents all of mankind. And you know what the Yonah is going to be? There's going to be mankind, and there's going to be the Yonah. But that's what's going to happen. The mankind and the Yonah. There's going to be an Avraham Avinu who will appear at the end of the Sedra, and he's going to be one who calls on the whole world is on one side, and he is on the other side. It's so awesome. I'm so thrilled when I come to our moment. It's the same thing 4,000 years later today. It's unbelievable. Except with a little difference that it's a powerful little Yonah. Do you want to ask a question?
Unfortunately, the Yonah is still a sacrifice, and the symbol of our sacrifice.
Is he what?
We use the Yonah for a sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash, and we're still a sacrifice today.
So I didn't tell you that the Medrash also says about the Yonah that the Yonah permits itself to be slaughtered if necessary. And the Gemara says about Klal Yisrael that at so many moments in history, for the sake of the Rebbei Yishlanim, we gave our lives. Exactly. Exactly. The Yonah is also the one who brings messages in general. But it all, here it is. It's really the Yonah and everybody else at the table. Separate. Distinct. She has nothing to return to. There's nobody there for her. There's nobody who will understand her. There's nobody who's going to stand by her. The Yonah is on her own nearly, except she understands one thing, that she receives whatever she has in this world. She receives the Yodo Shah Kodesh Baruch Hu from the hand of the Rebbe Yishlanim. And she chooses whatever she can get from the hands of the Rebbe Yishlanim regardless of how bitter it may be, how difficult it may be, but she doesn't want to ever have to depend on basaladom of men and flesh and blood. In a sense, the Yonah is setting the pattern for what Klal Yisrael is going to be throughout history. And as I say, that history begins right here in Parshas Noach at the end. There's going to be the Yonah who's going to emerge from Ur Kasdim, who's going to defy a whole world. He's going to defy a whole world, bring a great message to the whole world. But he's going to stand on his own, and he's going to remain alone for all of history. And here we are, still all, it's unbelievable. You know, we're wonderful people. I'm so happy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Just read the papers every day. We're condemned. They condemn us. They attack us. We're the source of all evil. And then you keep getting, you keep watching this. My computer broke down, but that's good for a while, then I'll be okay. I think the last thing I printed out was the last two things. Rabbi Nachman Kahana's parasha of last week. I don't know what I'm going to do this week. Right? Maybe he'll send it to me by carrier pigeon. And then some fellow who compiled, and there have been many of these compilations, a compilation of all the latest inventions and discoveries in Israel that are benefiting the whole world. The whole world is benefiting from us, and we are the source of all evil and all war. It's unbelievable. One day, of course, the raven is the one who's going to have to admit that the Yonah is far, far better than he. The raven is the ominous one. The raven is the ugly. The raven is the black or the dark. And the light is the ugly.
Thank you. the rabbi.